Sexuality and gender identity is getting confusing. New labels, definitions, and even pronouns seem to emerge daily. It's one of the drawbacks of nonconformity, and it's a point of empathy for Terry, who is pansexual and genderqueer. The singular they and them are their preferred pronouns, and they requested a pseudonym be used to identify them for this story.
I don't remember who said this, but you have to give your family twice as much time to come out as you gave yourself. And I didn't come out until I was 19 years old. So, you know, the confusion is valid.
Terry's sexuality and gender identity is something they gradually realized and came to terms with during their teen years and throughout their stint at East Carolina University. Terry remembers having feelings for members of the same sex as they reached adolescence, which was further complicated by the church they began attending, which had decidedly strong convictions.
The youth leaders were indoctrinating us for future indoctrination of other children. They did the whole righteous judges thing with us and told us that 9/11 was a punishment for the homosexuality in this country because of the military apologists for gays in this country, and 9/11 was a result of that.
Terry still lives in eastern North Carolina and now has a partner who is also gender nonconforming. Figures from UCLA's Williams Institute place Pitt County in the top half of the state for rate of same-sex couples, along with several other eastern counties, including Dare, New Hanover, Duplin, and Craven. The couple hasn't experienced much harassment, Terry says, since they are stealth and look like a heterosexual couple. But Terry says avoiding aggravation isn't always possible.
There have been acts of violence towards us that don't happen to other people. I mean, we've been called out on a drunk bus at ECU where we were harassed and told that we were freaks and that our sex life doesn't make sense and that we should be ashamed of ourselves. And I think the fact that we're stealth at all speaks volumes of what it's like to be part of the LGBT community in this part of the country.
The stigma surrounding the LGBTQ plus community, especially non-conforming individuals, led August Branch of Greenville to become an active advocate for the community. He is a volunteer for the Trans Lifeline. According to statistics from the Trans Lifeline, incoming calls from North Carolina have spiked since House Bill 2 passed on March 23rd. The new law has broad repercussions for everyone in the state, especially the estimated 250,000 members of the LGBTQ plus community, a Williams Institute approximation.
Custody of their children can become a battle because of it. Veterans also lose protection. People of color, race, religion, anything, no longer have the right to fight discrimination in the state.
Proponents of House Bill 2 and religious freedom laws debated and passed across the South and Midwest have said these laws underscore desire for personal liberty among those with more traditional values. Terry says personal liberty is exactly what members of the LGBTQ plus community are looking for, too.
We disagree with you, and we don't like a lot of the things that you believe in, and we're not telling you that you can't believe those things and that you can't live that way. So just to do us the same courtesy, like, you don't have to agree with us. You don't have to like it. You can condemn us to hell all of you want in your private spaces, but at the end of the day, we're all Americans, and America awards us the right, with multiple amendments in our Constitution, to live the way that we want to live authentically, and that doesn't affect you.
But they said things can be just as disheartening within the LGBTQ plus community. They said there's a lack of recognition from those within the community who are, quote, cisgendered, that is, those whose gender identity aligns with their given sex. Cis is derived from a term used in the field of chemistry, in which two atoms land on the same side of a molecule.
Oftentimes, when you go to gay parties, particularly in the South, there's space for white gay men, and you don't always feel included. Homonormativity is a huge problem in the LGBT movement in the United States that people don't like to talk about because they're like, well, gay marriage is legal, shouldn't you be happy? But there's a whole other group of people being persecuted.
Studies show gender and sexual nonconforming individuals make up the majority of the LGBTQ plus community, but are more prone to suicidal tendencies, unemployment, and homelessness. East Carolina University sociology professor Melinda Kane believes much of the neglect and hostility toward this segment of the community comes from the ambiguity and confusion associated with it.
Anytime that someone does not fit into those assumed to be clear-cut categories where physicality and social identities match, that that can be very threatening to those who see those by those categories as very fixed and very real. And I think that's why you see the violence in particular for trans women.
Nonconforming individuals have played integral roles in developing the LGBTQ plus community and image, including Marsha P. Johnson, a trans woman who was often credited with firing the modern gay rights movement's shot heard around the world on June 28, 1969, the first night of the Stonewall riots in New York City. Dr. Kane says it goes even further than that.
But there's lots of evidence that many of the early protests within the LGBT community, not just Stonewall, but other riots and protests like the Compton Cafeteria riot in San Francisco, involved people who we would call gender nonconforming, right? That it was members of what we would call the trans community.
Yet gender nonconforming individuals and those who fall between the gay and straight binary, also called polysexual in some circles, are, overall, having a tough time finding recognition within the LGBTQ plus community and by mainstream society. Dr. Kane said there's always been tension within the community since, like most communities, needs and goals of individuals don't always coincide.
Women, for example, early on were much more concerned about parental rights because they had children from previous heterosexual relationships, and custody was really key. Where for gay men, it might be other issues that we're focused on. So there are always some debates about who should speak for the movement, the goals that the movement should have, and those types of tensions continue today, especially around issues of bi individuals or as well as people who are trans.
The discussion on sexual orientation and gender identity is far from over in Eastern North Carolina or anywhere else. It's a matter far from the norm in the tobacco fields, fishing docks, and country churches that are still fixtures across the region. I'm Chris Thomas.